The generation known as the millennials are not all that interested in news, and our guest this hour says, unlike past generations, they are unlikely to engage in news more as they grow older. We'll talk about why this is, why it matters, and what might change their habits. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 26th. And if you are a 20-something and you're listening right now, why is that? You're bucking a trend. We'd be interested in knowing what you think about our guest research that finds that young people today do not make news a priority, and they feel that the news media is talking down to them. They think that the news is garbage, lies, one-sided propaganda, repetitive and boring. Wow. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Paula Poindexter, professor of journalism at the University of Texas in Austin, author of Millennials, News, and Social Media. Is news engagement a thing of the past? And she joins us via ISDN. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us. So we're all on the same page. Who are the millennials, and how do we define them?
We're talking about people who were born in the 1980s and 1990s, essentially. So you could say 20-somethings and teenagers would fall into the category of millennials. And as we think about the generations, it's interesting that some people are not familiar with the name millennials because they think of Generation Y. And in fact, the older generation is Generation X, which is why some, after the millennials came on board, they started calling them Generation Y. But I think that most people now are referring to this particular generation born in the 80s and 90s as millennials. And then, of course, the most well-known generation is the baby boomer generation and so forth.
So how did you find out that millennials don't care so much for news?
Well, I report the findings of a national survey that I conducted in the book and really confirm some of the things that I had been observing for a while. You know, I teach the millennial generation. In fact, I'm a professor here at the University of Texas at Austin. And my students, all of my undergraduate students and many of my graduate students are of this generation. And I've also had an opportunity to observe millennials up close because my daughter is a millennial and her friends and so forth and so on. So I've been observing this generation for a very long time. But as part of the book, I conducted a national survey and had an opportunity to develop a questionnaire that asked very, very specific questions, not only about news engagement, you know, whether people are listening to news on the radio, whether they're watching TV and getting news, whether they're getting news online, their engagement with social media such as Facebook and Twitter. So I asked a variety of very specific questions and also asked questions, their attitudes about the news media and the news and the news coverage, and particularly the news coverage of their generation. And so with this vast array of questions, I was able to find evidence of something that I had been observing on a smaller basis, that for this particular generation, that news, of course, as you said, is not a priority. But I do want to emphasize that for every generation that has come of age in the 20s, that news has been less of a priority than the previous generation. So when baby boomers came of age, and that generation born between 1946 and 64, that news was less and less of a priority for them. And then for Generation X, even less of a priority. And so this trend is continuing. And so for this youngest generation that's coming of age or that is of age now, that news is just not very important in their lives. And we also want to think about the fact that at the very time that they came of age and they started graduating high school, going to college and so forth, there was something that was happening in their world that really got their attention, and that's Facebook. And so at the time that they might have picked up the newspaper, maybe I should say started you know, finding news online and so forth, that they found something else online, and it was Facebook, and that made a difference in their lives. And I do believe that that's had some impact as to whether or not they are engaged with news. But I also think it's a bigger issue that the news media has not historically done a very good job of including this generation and covering this generation. And they know this.
Yeah.
And so why is it that would you pay attention to something that really doesn't respect you, and they feel disrespected by the news media? So there are a lot of factors. It's a complicated issue, but it is a fact.
Let's talk some of how they feel disrespected. This is news coverage that might call them a bunch of slackers living in their parents' basement, that kind of thing.
Well, exactly. I mean, we see a lot of that. That's a trend. But I think a bigger issue has to do with the fact that when a news story, and if it's about the election, it's about, you know, how voters are thinking about the candidates and thinking about the issues, it is rare to find one of the voices, one of the sources quoted from the millennial generation. And so there are, you know, a vast array of ways that they are excluded. And sometimes they all are called names, slackers, as you just mentioned. But for the most part, they're just not, the news media is not engaged with them, and they're not engaged back.
So is that because they feel that or see that, hear that disrespect, they just don't look at anything? I mean, they don't follow the news. That's why they don't make news a priority?
Well, I do want to emphasize that there are some who are following the news. So we're not saying that 100% of millennials are not following the news. I mean, the truth is, it would be impossible, even if you tried very, very hard, to avoid news. I mean, news is everywhere. I mean, when you go on email, news pops up. You know, if you go on Facebook or wherever you might go, yeah, you're going to find news, and you're on Twitter. So they are encountering news. The real question is whether or not they are making news a part of their life to actually engage with news as opposed to running into news accidentally. And I think the very fact that the majority of them are not trying to actively engage with news really speaks to the issue that there has to be a problem here, and there is a problem here. And, I really think it's important for us to acknowledge that a problem exists so that we can try to improve news coverage so that we can engage this generation. Because I think if we continue to ignore this generation, that at some point that there may not be anyone who's engaging with news because the older generations are dying out. I mean, that's just a fact. And the younger generations are coming along, and there'll be a generation after the millennials. And if we don't do anything to try to improve the news coverage to include them, then we're going to be in trouble as a society.
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. Aren't maybe the millennials, as they grow older, start engaging in the news a little bit more down the road? Why is it necessarily going to be a problem that right now they are not engaged?
Well, I think that's a very good point that you're making. And actually, that is what has been believed by the news media for a long time. I mean, before coming to the university, I worked at the Los Angeles Times. And I was on the business side, and one of my responsibilities was to develop a program, essentially a newspaper and education program, to grow future newspaper readers. And now we talk about future news, news consumers, and so forth. And it pretty much had been believed across not only the Los Angeles Times, but across the news media that once young people became a certain age and they started establishing roots, they started, buying homes and, having families and sending their children to school, then of course they would automatically pick up the newspaper, and automatically get news because now you're invested in your community. So that pretty much has been the trend in the past. But what I'm saying is that with each generation, fewer and fewer are engaging news. And then plus the fact that there are so many choices in terms of what can get your attention, unlike for the baby boomers. I mean, you had one or two newspapers in your community. You had only three networks. We didn't even have cable when baby boomers were coming of age. And even for Generation X, I mean, we were beginning to get some of the cable news sources and so forth. But today's world, the world that the millennial generation is growing up in, it is a completely different world. So we can't take the assumptions that we made in the past and assume that they're going to apply today, because they're just not. There's so many things they want to do or can do, and there's so many things they can have access to. You can get news any way you want, including on your smartphone, or any information on your smartphone. So it's mobile. Baby boomers didn't have mobile devices. Generation X didn't have mobile devices when they were the same age. And no one had Facebook and no one had Twitter. So I think we have to remember that it is a completely different world today. Oh. And because it's a completely different world today, the things that were true in the past, they're just not going to hold today.
Yeah, well, certainly it is. It's changing every day. And I think about that, though, with Twitter, with Facebook, with hundreds, thousands of infinite sources online for news and information, you would think that the millennials would maybe even be more engaged in news than the generations before them. But I'm trying to nail down why it is they're not. It's mainly because they are not represented in that coverage.
That is one factor, and I think that's a very important factor. But, you know, let's also be real when we talk about the news. I mean, for you to engage with news, that you really have to know some background, some context to understand some of the issues. I mean, that's just a fact. And the more you engage with news, the more you read about news, then there is a greater chance that now, oh, okay, now this makes sense because I have the context. You know, the news media really doesn't do a very good job, even though it has the potential to do a good job, now that you can embed links in a news story and you can click on links to get some context if you don't have any context. So there's a potential there, you know, certainly if you're getting news online. But, you know, to follow the news and to think of the news as anything but boring, then it's hard to do. You really have to follow it. So I think the news media can also do a better job of making news engaging, so that people, not just millennials really, because there are people who are in older generations that they're not following the news either, because the news oftentimes is boring. It doesn't have the context, and that's just a fact. So I think those of us who are in, I mean, you're in journalism. You know, I'm a journalism professor. I am involved in training the next generation of journalists, that one of the things that we have to make sure that we do in our curriculum is to, you know, talk to students, help students understand how important it is to have a story that is written in an engaging way and it has the context, so that people who may not be that familiar with the subject can then follow the news, because it's hard to follow the news if you don't really understand the news. And then plus you just think it's boring. And please tell me, how many times do you pay a lot of attention to something that you perceive as boring?
Not very much. Let's let our listeners in on this. How do we make the news less boring? And if you are in the millennial generation, are we talking about you? What do you think of the news coverage that you do engage in? And how do we fix this? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Paula Poindexter. She is author of Millennials, News, and Social Media. Is News Engagement a Thing of the Past? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After three, from the daily satire of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert to the internet memes and videos like Obama Girl, the popularity of mixing politics with pop culture is undeniable. But is this a good or a bad thing for the candidates? And does it have an impact on voter behavior? Coming up after three, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins today, talking with his guest about the intersection of pop culture and politics. That's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, we are talking about the millennial generation and why they are not interested in the news, why they are not engaging in the news, and why this is a problem. Our guest did research on this topic. She is the author of Millennials, News, and Social Media: Is News Engagement a Thing of the Past? And she learned that most millennials give news media average to failing grades when it comes to reporting on their generation, and they describe the news, among other things, as boring. So is this a problem, and how do we fix it? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Paula Poindexter. She is a professor of journalism at the University of Texas in Austin. She is also president-elect of the Association for Education in Journalism and Mass Communication. And let's take some calls. We have Cyrus in Chippewa Falls with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks to both of you for doing this morning. I guess I'd definitely agree with the guest. I guess I'm 26 and find that many of my peers do not watch the news. And I think it's more to do that they don't know the context that everything's in, kind of what your speaker was talking about prior to the break, that they will watch it and they don't know all the facts or what's going on, so they just kind of get turned off right away by certain issues.
Mm-hmm. So you think that if there was more context in these stories, that more people would watch or listen or read, Cyrus?
I think it's partially, but I think a lot of it's the point that they haven't engaged prior, so there's a larger barrier to becoming engaged with the news. So I don't know if it's anything really that the news could do, I guess, to make it easier, but they kind of have to do their homework,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, why do you, Cyrus, apparently you're engaged because you're listening to public radio, you're calling in. What do you think made you so engaged?
I guess just my upbringing. I grew up listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and watching the news every night, and that's just, I guess, kind of how I was raised, and I guess I continued it as an adult, and now I'm raising a child myself and trying to continue on the parenting skills that I took from my parents.
And do you have your child there captive listening to us right now?
No, she's at school.
Just teasing. Professor Poindexter, Cyrus says lots of his peers feel there's not a lot of context, and he doesn't think they really kind of understand the issues, so they just stop watching. What do you think? Oh, I'm sorry. Start over, since I didn't have your volume up. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think the points that Cyrus made are just excellent points. One, I want to emphasize that he essentially is following the news because the home that he grew up in, as he said, that news was around him and news was, he was encouraged to follow the news, to engage with the news because his parents were. And that really makes a big difference. In fact, that's one of the things that I talk about is how we grow up as far as news is concerned. I mean, there are essentially two ways to socialize people, meaning to educate them and to engage them with the news. And one of them is what happens at home, and the other thing is what happens at school. And there was a time when there was news in the home. There were newspapers in the home. I grew up in a home where my parents subscribed to two newspapers, and that certainly made, I mean, it was always around, and so that certainly made a difference for me. But there are a lot of homes where there's not news in the home and certainly not newspapers, and today with online news, there are many homes with, they're getting it on their iPad or their smartphone and so forth, and maybe the TV news or the radio news is not turned on. In those cases, that we really rely on the schools, and we hope that the teachers are bringing news into the classroom, because you can have some wonderfully exciting discussions about real world events with the newspaper or online news and so forth. So how you're brought up can certainly have an impact. And then Cyrus is now continuing that tradition with his own child. And so, the parent is the first role model to essentially consume news. And if children are observing their parents and then just becomes a part of their lives, and that's so very important and that can make a difference. Now, many homes that don't have parents who are engaging with news, and if the millennial generation does not engage with news, what's going to happen with their children? Because their children are not going to observe it, and then they will be less likely to engage with news. So it really becomes a very, complicated factor as far as that's concerned. But the context issue, which you mentioned, which is extremely important because the news media has to find a way to provide that context. A researcher who studies young adults, Amy Zerba, formerly a professor at University of Florida, and also previously at CNN and now at the New York Times, and some of the research that she has done, and she's also a former journalist, some of the research that she has done is to essentially say that what is the so what? What is the so what that's in the story? You know, when you write a story, and you're a reporter, you write a story, have you answered the so what? Because the so what is going to make a difference. And that's about providing the context. Why should I care about this? Many of us were fascinated by the flyover of the Endeavour space shuttle as it was making its way across the country. In fact, it flew over the Capitol here in Austin. And I was so excited. In fact, I wasn't able to go and to see it because I had an 8 o'clock class and it was flying over just before 8 o'clock. But the idea was exciting. And that particular story, which all the news media ran, that I wanted that story, I wanted the millennial editor of Millennials News and Social Media, which is a news aggregator that my daughter and I do, I wanted her to post that story on that so that other millennials could see that and get excited. Well, her response to me was, okay, well, I didn't grow up, you know, during the time of the space shuttle, so you have to tell me, why is that important to me? Why is that important to my generation? And, you know, I had trouble. I guess I was so shocked that she said that because I thought, of course, this is important to everybody. But we cannot assume that just because there's a big, important story that some of us can relate to, we can't assume that everyone can relate to it. So we really need to spend the time to stop and think, okay, what is it that I can do? What can I add to this story, whether it's a link or something else, to provide that context, which will answer the so what?
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Paula Poindexter, professor of journalism at the University of Texas in Austin, author of Millennials, News, and Social Media. Is news engagement a thing of the past? You know, Cyrus, our last caller, told our on-air producer that he also felt watching and following the news, his news engagement was a civic duty of sorts. And I'm wondering if we should talk a little bit about that, the so what of this story in terms of what might happen if millennials are not engaged in news and current affairs.
Well, one of the things that will happen, you know, if this generation is not engaged, and then the generation that will follow the millennials is not engaged until we get to the point that there's no one engaged with the news. And then the consequences of that will be, I mean, I don't even want to think about, you know, living in a society where people are not informed of the news. And, you know, the presidential candidates can say whatever they want to say. And we wouldn't know any differently because of the fact that we're not engaged, no one's engaged with the news. So you can get away with a lot of things when people are not informed. So it's a society that I think, you know, in the long run is going to be very troubling for all of us, which is why it's so important that we really stop and think, okay, what can we do to make sure that people are not only engaged with news, but they really value being informed. They want to be informed. And, you know, to make that happen, that it really requires the effort of everyone, you know, from parents to teachers and principals, journalists, no question about that, you know, journalists and professors, presidential candidates, everybody needs to be engaged so that we can do something about this so that we don't end up with a society where people are not informed.
And tell us a little bit more about your efforts to try to counter this. You mentioned that you and your daughter are working together on this millennial news project. What are you doing?
Well, it's a news aggregator, and it's on Facebook, and I'm really very excited about it, that we started it over a year ago. And the idea really grew out of a class that I teach here at the University of Texas. The class is Journalism Society and the Citizen Journalists, and that course was part of the package of courses that we developed, we created here, as far as a Knight Carnegie initiative on the future of journalism education. And in teaching that class and focusing directly on the audience for news, also the purpose, principles, and process of journalism, but the audience for news, then I started really looking very, very closely at the youngest generation that was coming about. And my students would have final projects related to, you know, what can we do to engage this generation that seems to be turning off to news? You know, what can we do to engage them? So we would talk about a lot of things. And afterwards, I would spend a lot of time thinking about it. And I wanted to, for my class, was just bring together the news stories that included millennials, that were of interest to millennials, and that stories that millennials really should know. I wanted to bring all of those together in one place so that my students really could have those kinds of stories as role models for how news should be written, how it should be reported to include the millennial generation. And so that was an idea that I had, but the truth is I really didn't know how to make it a reality. And so I was telling my millennial daughter, Alexandra Wilson, who lives in the Kansas City area, I was telling her about it. And she said, oh, no problem. I'll just put it on Facebook. It's like, oh, okay. That sounds like a great idea. So what she did, she created a page and it's on Facebook. And I encourage everyone to take a look at it and like the page. Right now, not only am I using it here, there are journalism professors from around the country who are using it. But every morning, early in the morning, that I search through all the major media, trusted sources that we know and love and talk about in our classes, and find stories that would fit the category of about millennials, of interest to millennials, and news millennials should know. I email those stories to Alexandra, and before Alexandra goes to work, that she goes through the stories. And it's very important to emphasize the fact that she is the editor. She is the millennial editor because her sensibilities may be different from mine. And so and I respect the fact that she's going to look at it from another perspective. And then plus she will add prompts to engage her generation. So some of the stories that are posted have prompts, you know, really to connect to the millennials. And so that idea is one of them, not only to engage millennials, but I'm hoping that journalists will take a look at it too, because then they'll see examples of how you engage this particular generation. You know, if there's only one story that has been published today, that, and it's possible that there are none, but if there's only one story that's published today from a credible news source, it is very likely that it's going to be found on the Millennials and News page on Facebook.
Good.
And so we're trying to, you know, accomplish several goals with it.
We will certainly put that on our Facebook page as well, the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and we already have it on our program notes on our website, WPR.org. So let's take another call. Anne in Viroqua. Hi, Anne.
Hi. This is amazing that this topic is on, because I have wondered about something regarding this for a long time. As a teacher and as a involved community member, I have observed for some time that there are seem to be two distinct groups of young people. One of them fits the description of your guest exactly. They're just not interested. And then there's this other group that is so involved. They, after high school, when they were going to college, or after, let's say, if they were taking a break from college or anything like that, or during the summer, they'd get involved in overseas programs. They do fundraising for third world countries or for the environment or for all kinds of stuff. And they're so way more involved than I ever was when I was that age. And what I have noticed after watching this for some time is that they seem to be, in general, a group of kids who weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth, but whose parents were involved in some way. So when the kids were growing up.
Right.
So that influence seems to be the biggest. I'm not sure, but that's what it looks like to me, which kind of underscores what you were talking about before.
Right. Well, but, thank you very much, Anna. What do you think? There are two distinct groups of millennials, Professor Poindexter?
Well, I would say that this generation is perhaps more than any other known for its involvement, for volunteering and so forth. That's, across the board. So I think that it really is a very special generation. They, they care about others. It's also the most diverse generation racially and ethnically and so forth. So they do care and they want to be involved. But just because you're involved, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are engaging with the news. You'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I know that some of my students, for example, in fact, I was speaking to one of my colleagues' classes, and I was telling that class, those students, about the millennials and news page because he was using it in his class. And so I said, okay, now how many of you all engage with news? I knew everybody would say they were because they're journalism students. Of course, you have to be engaged with news. I said, okay, here's another question. How many of you have friends who are engaged with news? And none of the, maybe one or two hands went up. So we're talking about a class of, 15 to 20 students, and their friends are not engaged with news. And so I think that's more of a reality. Now, if I'd asked the third question, which you're referring to, about, okay, how many of your friends, how many of you and your friends are volunteering and engaged in some way, then I think that most of the hands would have gone up. So it is a generation that is engaged and involved, and they care about people, but that does not necessarily translate to reading about, watching, or listening to the news.
Let's go to Kristen in Oshkosh next. Good morning.
Morning. I guess I have two things that really stick out in my mind, and thank you for the program. The first is I think that we've even further localized our news. So we just have, I watch and I learn about Oshkosh on TV and that kind of thing. But if I go to Facebook, people are drawn to things that match their worldview, right? So I've created a specific group of friends on Facebook that believe sort of what I do in general, and then they post these different articles and ideas and things that are of more interest to me. So that's one concept, I think, is we've made it even more local for ourselves. And I think the other thing is that there's a level of learned helplessness. Much like Cyrus was saying, we don't have a lot of the context. And so I'm hearing from a lot of friends and coworkers myself is that, I don't know anything about that. Or it's just this fear of ignorance because there's so much news out there and so many different avenues to get it from. It's not like we all saw the same TV program on the news yesterday and we read the same newspaper. Now it's everywhere. And so I think this it's like a social anxiety almost.
Oh, interesting. What do you think, Professor Poindexter?
Well, I think that is very interesting, and the whole idea that there's so much information, and some people call it overload, but I think in this case that it's breeding paralysis. I mean, where do you even begin? Mm-hmm. And it really is a problem if you don't have the background. I mean, even if you try to get engaged with the news and you say, okay, now I'm going to become very informed of all of the issues, especially with the presidential election coming up and so forth, that I really want to know what the candidates are saying and the issues. And it is hard. It's hard because of the way that, the candidates actually... Well, that's a whole nother story. I won't get on the candidates. But let me say this, how it's reported that you really have to have the context to understand. And it is very, very hard. So it can lead to, the best intentions of becoming engaged with the news can lead to paralysis because you just don't know where to begin.
On Facebook, Mark writes, if I ask my friends why they don't follow the news every day, they say, why bother? They'd rather listen to music in the car, watch reality TV, play games on their phones, or other social activity. They figure, why follow something that doesn't affect me? Is that part of it, too?
I think that's a perception. Absolutely. And that, to me, is saying that the news media is really not doing a good job, because there is a responsibility on the side, on the news media side, to help people understand why this matters. In fact, it should never be the case that anyone says, well, it doesn't affect me. Yes, the news affects you, whether it's directly or indirectly, it does affect you. And I think that that would be a really good thing to focus on, that when you're writing stories, then if it's you're not answering the so what, then answer the question, okay, how does this affect my reader? How does this affect my listener? How does this affect my viewer? Because if you can answer that question, you could very well rewrite that story and make it a better story and engage even more people in the news.
We are talking with Paula Poindexter, professor of journalism at the University of Texas in Austin and author of Millennials, News and Social Media. Is news engagement a thing of the past? She learned that the millennial generation, for the most part, is not all that interested in following the news, getting engaged with the news. She says that's a problem, but we can do something about it. We're talking about how journalism might change, how the news media might change, how it reaches out to millennials or how it covers news so it does interest millennials, and what it means for politics and society in general, too. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Are you a part of this younger generation, the millennials? Are you following the news, or are your friends engaged in the news? What would make it better, easier? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn and her guest will talk about the NFL and the NFL Referee Association remaining at a stalemate in the lockout, in the dispute that has put replacement refs on the field for the third straight week. We're talking about, Kathleen will be talking about replacing the refs with the replacement refs with real refs coming up after 9 o'clock. We are talking about millennials and the media during this hour with our guest, who is a professor of journalism at the University of Texas in Austin and author of Millennials, News, and Social Media. Is news engagement a thing of the past? And I wanted to ask you, Professor Poindexter, about the trend of younger people, we are told, getting a lot of their news from late-night comedy shows, or specifically the political comedy shows on Comedy Central, and like the Colbert Report and Jon Stewart. Is that what the news media has to turn into in order to engage the millennials?
Absolutely not. And I will say I love The Daily Show and the Colbert Report and so forth. But I do want to emphasize that there's this false impression that this age group is getting their news from these programs. And it's not true. And whether you're looking at my data or whether you're looking at data from the Pew Research Center that every 2 years does a survey, at least one survey on news consumption, that it's fewer than 20% of the generation that's actually watching these programs, let alone getting news from it. And so they're not watching it for that purpose, even though they are newsworthy. But the truth is, you have to be informed, you have to have the context to even get the jokes. And so it's a small percentage. The news media does not have to become The Daily Show. In fact, who would even want to try? I mean, there's only one special, The Daily Show. And, Jon Stewart is incredible the way he does that. But it's not the source that they're going to for news. And so they are not the problem. I mean, the problem is the news media and the way that it covers stories, including stories about millennials, and the way that it doesn't include them. So the problem is the news media. And, the millennials have work to do. I mean, the millennials have to understand that it is in their best self-interest to be informed of the news. And I'm not saying that all the problem is the news media. I mean, the millennial generation has to step up, too, because it does make a difference, and it will make a difference in their lives. You know, I had one of the questions that I had asked in the National Survey of News Engagement, which I report in my book, I wanted to find out And I expected to find out that they would have seen being informed of the news as being empowering. And so I asked a specific question, and the majority disagreed that they found the news to be empowering. And that was probably one of the saddest findings, you know, in my national survey, because if you are informed, you are empowered. And so I just wonder that, you know, how much what we really, really, really need to do so that everyone can feel that sense of empowerment and the empowerment that comes from being informed. And so that's another, you know, that's a unique aspect, but mm-hmm. I think that's something we don't think about as a benefit of being informed of the news, but it absolutely is.
Let's take another call. Matt in Madison is with us now. Hello, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for the program. I really enjoy it. I had 2 points, and then it just kind of building on what some other people have mentioned, that there isn't a lot of context in today's news media. Part of that, I think, is the way that news media is structured with, like, 30-second sound bites or, you know, just kind of these facts, like you have, you know, a bomb go off somewhere in the world, and there's just not a lot of background to it, so you miss that narrative. And I think to have that narrative piece, you need to be able to, you know, dedicate more time than you get in a lot of today's news. And then the other part, too, is just that one of the reasons, you know, I don't know if this is related or not, but with some of the cutbacks in news media, you may not get as many people who are in their, you know, younger years, their 20s or 30s, which the listeners then might be able to identify with and to be able to draw in a crowd, which can then, you know, just identify with the person who's presenting it. So
well, yeah,
that's all I wanted to say.
Thanks very much. Is the, you know, the economics of journalism playing a part in this, Professor Poindexter?
I believe so, but I can't excuse it because it's really always been an issue in terms of not including the youngest generation, and whether that was when, you know, Generation X, they were in their 20s, or baby mm-hmm. boomers when they were in their 20s. So this pretty much has been the way the news media has covered issues, done reports and so forth. Is it's looked at an older generation, I mean, the older part of the generation, you know, people in their 40s, 50s, and older, and so forth. So I don't think they can really blame that as the major reason, because it's really been a philosophy that we don't need to worry about the younger ones, because when they get to be in their 40s and they're establishing their homes and so forth and so on, then they're going to automatically pick up the news. But as far as the context, I mean, it does take time to add the context. And I'm just thinking about the opportunities with online news, so that if you could provide the links, and that requires time, and they may not have the extra staff to do that, but I do think they need to figure out, you know, how to add the context through links, because a lot of people will click on the links to find that. And I think that you can also write stories in a way that there's context built in without telling people, okay, here's the context for you all who don't know the context of this story. I think that you can rewrite the story so that it will have it in, and it's easier to understand, and people won't respond, you know, that's not relevant to me because you know, I don't really get it.
What about millennials getting more involved in citizen reporting, blogging? You know, CNN has, you know, the iReport, where you can, you know, you can be uploading your own stuff on YouTube. Is that going to take up any of the slack?
Well, it's not going to take up any of the slack, but I certainly think that it enhances the opportunity for millennial engagement. You know, the whole area, and we've called this, you know, citizen journalism, and some people call it participatory journalism and so forth, and that is a byproduct of all of the ways that you can engage with news. And one of the things that I found, I, you know, asked questions about this, but I found in my study that there was not just one type of citizen journalist, that there were actually four types of citizen journalists. And I call it, one is a citizen reporter, the one who likes to report the news, and they may very well upload the video and the story to, you know, iReport for CNN. Another type is a citizen editor, and I think the citizen editor is extremely interesting. This is the person who will text stories to friends, who will post stories on their Facebook page, who will, you know, email stories and links and so forth and so on. They're always telling others about the news. And so I think that particular person, the citizen editor, along with the citizen reporter, and then the other two types that I found in my study, the citizen, what I call the citizen photojournalist, mm-hmm. that they may not be writing stories, but because they have a smartphone and they can take a picture and upload it, you know, quickly, or they can take a video and upload it and so forth. And we know that there's a lot of engagement with this. And this is something else that millennials are doing and can do. And then the final one is the citizen commentator. And we know that there are a lot of people who like, who have opinions and want to share their opinions, and it's different from reporting the news. And this is a very special part of this whole group of citizen journalists. But they're the ones who very likely would have a blog, or they're the ones who very likely will add a comment to a story that they may have found as they are sharing it with their friends. But I do, it's not an answer, but I think it is part of the solution, because you can make people feel like they're involved. And the very fact that the news media has traditionally not included the younger generation, then here is a way that you can include them. But I still say that they need to include them as sources and news stories, especially if you're talking about voters. Well, you know, don't have all of your voters who are over 40 years old interview some, you know, who are in their 20s, yeah. because they have opinions too.
Randy and Kadat has been waiting. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. I would like to say that I'm grateful for your host today in your program.
Oh, thanks for listening. Are you in the millennial generation?
I am not. I am 51 years old, and I grew up listening to Walter Cronkite as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that he was a substantive, a man with great insight, and his staff ensured that he had accurate reporting. And now I look at what we have today. For the most part, we have CNN News and Fox News, and I really think that both of those programs qualify as reality TV now. And I would like to take your comment off the air.
All right. Well, Professor Poindexter, you know, we don't have Uncle Walter anymore, and things aren't the way they used to be. What about, though, I'm just wondering, too, he talks about CNN and Fox, and then there's MSNBC. Is there a decline in the quality of at least the broadcast news?
I think the issue is, first and foremost, that there's a lot of news out there. There's a lot of information out there, but the public doesn't really know which of it is news that can be trusted and which of it is news that cannot be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
Because you add a name to it does not necessarily mean that it is credible news in the sense that it's trying to be objective. And, you know, two of the cable networks have decided that they want to have a point of view, and that's perfectly fine. But there is a difference between being point of view news as opposed to being objective news, as
right.
the type that, you know, Walter Cronkite brought to us.
Let's leave that point there, because we have just a minute to go, and I want to know very, very briefly, do you think news engagement is a thing of the past?
Well,
you hope that things will turn
around.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I'm wrong on that, but I thought it was important to pose the question. But I'm hoping that I'm wrong. I think if we don't do anything, that if people say, "Oh, it's not a problem" or anything, then yes, it will become a thing of the past. And so my hope is to make sure that I'm wrong on that, and
Good.
Everyone can help me.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Paula Poindexter is author of Millennials, News, and Social Media: Is News Engagement a Thing of the Past? She is a professor of journalism at the University of Texas in Austin. And we thank her for joining us from the studios at the University of Texas. Thanks to Rob Ferret and to Amanda Magnus for producing the show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.